National City. A hot afternoon, a bright purple diesel cab is parked on hard, uneven clay in front of a four-room house. Blue house paint is chipping, exposing large, irregular shapes of gray plaster. Inside, the woman is in bed, smoking cigarettes. Ashes fall on her white skin. She brushes them to the linoleum floor. And listening to a stack of old 45s on her just-as-old phonograph, she hears Little Anthony.
You don't remember me, but I remember you.
She glances every now and then at the green curtains across from the bed, faded from too much sun and cigarette smoke. The man is in the bathroom, asleep in the tub, soaking in cold water for relief from the heat. He's been in there a long time, ever since Don and Dewey. And so I'm leaving it up to you. You decide what you're gonna do. The woman puts out a cigarette in an overflowing ashtray, plays with her ring unconsciously, stares at the white plasterboard ceiling and the brown water stains in the corners. A new cigarette, and the metal arcs sing, Heaven and Paradise. The last record on the stack, she gets out of bed, turns the record stack over, and lets the B-sides play. The sky becomes orange. A few miles away, on the border, men and women crawl under barbed wires, follow coyotes, look forward, then run.
Es gibt viele Autos, die fahren nur rot. Ich geh nicht hoch für sie wie, das tut mir so gut. Ist das Auto mit den Ohrringen,
Kid, this ain't no rock and roll dream. He said, kid, it's really real.
I'm part of the surf punks. Thank you. Uh, 1947, 32 years old at this time, 1981 radio, beach, action, recording, meters, more level, volume, video, Gemini rising, Cancer, Cancer moon, Capricorn sun sign. Think about it. I need the beach. I have to have the ocean. It's my only reference point. That's all I have, man. That's all I got. I mean, you know, sunshine, skin cancer, coming from the ozone layer depletion. It's all great. I just figure that I'm building up a tolerance. You know, some of us that are going to, you know, die off, and some of us that are going to go on. I'm trying to be one of the latter. Watching the evolution of the beach for about 20 years and checking the basic mentality of a lot of these people that come to the beach. I mean, they actually think that the few short minutes that they're there, or hours or days, that it is their beach. And they think it's their wave. I mean, I've seen them. I've been out there where they go, it's my wave. And to me, that's the wave. It's their beach. It's our beach. No, it's my beach. I forgot.
At the age of 16, I happened into Eileen's house in much the same way Dorothy Gale happened into Oz. I woke up there. I had no idea where I was, only that I had a terrible hangover and was staring up into a crystal chandelier in a room that smelled strongly of spilled vodka. That day I hung out in the kitchen, sipping mimosas and listening to one of Eileen's daughter's accounts of her recent chin job. I never knew precisely what it was that Eileen did, although she had a lot of money, which she probably came into a la Zsa Zsa Gabor by marrying and divorcing quite well. Eileen had been married about 5 times, somewhere along the line to either the son of the Cowardly Lion, the Tin Woodsman, or the Scarecrow, I forget which one. She owned a huge 1920s stucco mansion nestled into the flats of Beverly Hills, and it was here that she lived with her two sullen teenage daughters, a black maid in a gray uniform straight out of Mildred Pierce, and an ever-changing cast of thousands. Eileen, for all her salon appointments and country club activities, had a weak spot in her heart for misfits, and she picked up and harbored every stray in Hollywood. No English skills, and an alcoholic uncle who dotted around in a silk dressing gown, hiding fifths of scotch. Eileen's favorite, though, was the blonde, blue-eyed Mexican who kicked off L.A. T-Bird's bench. He was in the company at Eileen's and having sex with everything that came through the door. There are quite a few nubile glam rock groups and that I Eileen's brother was Elijah Clark, so everyone in the house had a script for Valium, and they were all reading Play It As It Lays. No one actually worked, but they were all expected to pitch in and help out, like making runs to Smart and Final for wholesale booze and bulk dog food, or at least changing the sheets in the guest rooms. "I ain't touching those," the maid would sniff, her eyes glued to General Hospital. It was always a big event when a sightseeing bus would pull up in front of the house and everyone that was in the living room would run out and moon it. At night, we'd all go dancing at places like Gino's 2 or The Other Side, and spend the next day cattily rehashing the previous night's scandals. I began cutting school in the afternoons to witness the goings-on. It was exciting stuff for a 16-year-old. Everything from an aging drag queen getting into a fist fight with the Roto-Rooter man to someone stealing somebody else's private drug stash. Pretending I'd seen it all before, I got the education of a lifetime in degeneracy. I mean, Jacqueline Suzanne couldn't come close. With the advent of punk rock, though, I began drifting out of that scene, and the places I was frequenting were far too day class A for the crowded Eileen's. Occasionally, I bump into someone from those days or hear scattered tidbits through the grapevine. The last I heard was that the maid had stolen an emerald ring and run off to Tahoe with the gay roller derby star who'd finally gone straight. And as if that wasn't enough, to add insult to injury, on that very same day, a mongrel puppy fresh from the pound had somehow gotten a hold of and chewed to shreds by Lynn's pair of movie slippers.
Simple, son voyage est très simple. est-ce qu'on est encore capable de... ce qu'on connaît déjà.
Must be, I know you are, face you know it. So now I just pretend I'm playing hard to get what actually.